Hello and welcome to Hear Better, Hear Now, Hear For You. This is our seventh podcast, and it's appropriately titled Tinnitus versus Tinnitus, Causes and Treatment. Tinnitus and tinnitus are the same word. They can say it either way. My name is Dr. Becky Kaczmarski, and I'm here along with Dr. Angela Barton and Dr. Terry Alsom. They're both staff audiologists at Kaczmarski Hearing Services. Welcome, and thank you, Dr. Barton, and thank you, Dr. Alsom, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, Dr. Barton, please take a moment and tell us a little bit about yourself.
I've been a practicing audiologist for about 28 years and focus on hearing aids. Been in the Grand Rapids area since 1991 and love what I do.
Excellent. And Dr. Alsom, please take a moment and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I've also been an audiologist for a number of years, had a lot of different experience in a variety of different work environments, but I really love working with patients and helping them to overcome some of the struggles that come with having a communication disorder. And that's really what hearing loss is just having some difficulty communicating.
Right, exactly. It really is, when it comes down to it, that's what we work with every day. So we're going to talk about tinnitus today, and I'll talk to Dr. Barton first. I'm just going to ask you a general question. What does tinnitus sound like?
Tinnitus can be any number of sounds: ringing, buzzing, chirping, humming, any reported head sound. Some certain sounds are associated with certain syndromes, so it's often really important to figure out what that sound might be in terms of how they would describe it, because sometimes that would kind of trigger some other questions or referrals.
So chirping, roaring,
ocean. Humming, right, like an ocean, like a shell up to your ear sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's always described differently for even different people have different descriptions. So we always listen very carefully to what the patient says.
And for some people, that can vary from day to day. So in intensity, loudness, based on some of the other issues that might be going on.
That's true. That really is true. And so we move into what causes tinnitus, Dr. Alsom.
Well, what do you think? There are literally hundreds of causes for tinnitus, and most of them, but not all of them, are associated with hearing loss. So a lot of times we think of hearing loss as one of the primary causes for tinnitus. And some people like to think of it as a phantom limb. If you've ever heard of that, you can have your foot cut off at the ankle and yet your toes can itch. And it's the brain kind of saying, well, I should be feeling that foot, I should be feeling it. So it generates an itch. In a similar way for tinnitus, the brain may not be hearing sounds in a certain pitch range because of hearing loss. And so it thinks, well, I should be hearing something, I should be hearing something. So it generates a tone or a hiss or, you know, any other kind of noise that we call tinnitus so that it can hear something in that pitch range. So,
yeah, that's a really good example of the phantom limb syndrome. So people hear about that and they say, wow, that's really crazy. Well, tinnitus is such a unique thing,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. So in similar ways that they kind of help people fool their brain in phantom limb, we use the same, well, different but similar techniques to kind of help your brain adjust to that tinnitus or help it not be so distracted or disturbed by it.
Or focused on different things.
Right.
What are the other causes of tinnitus that could be? I just go over, there's so many different things that could be, but the most common five, that type of thing.
I said, hearing loss, but it can be associated with different medications. Mm-hmm. So some medications are ototoxic. Some diseases may attack a certain part of the ear, mm-hmm. causing sound where there is no sound.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, your normal triggers that most people commonly associate, the biggest one would be noise exposure, stress, fatigue. A lot of medications have a very common side effect of tinnitus. So if that's something that's really important to consider, if you've started a new medication and we've had changes in the intensity or the frequency of the tinnitus and you've changed medications, even herbal supplements, as something definitely that you would want to consult with your physician to see if there's something else that could be used as suitable treatment without the same reaction of that tinnitus.
Right, and even the basic things of just caffeine, nicotine, stress, mm-hmm. medications, those kinds of things we look at first in order to really look deeply into each person's individual experience with it. Yeah.
It's always important to get a good history when we're mm-hmm. talking about tinnitus so that we can determine whether there's some medical issue that may need to be addressed or whether it's something that's more like hearing loss or something. And so a hearing evaluation, a complete evaluation, and you know, a good history is going to help us get a long ways in determining how to manage this.
All three of those things are important. It makes everybody so different. Everybody that walks through the door will have a different history and a different result. Well, Dr. Barton, how common is tinnitus?
About 15% of the world's population reports some form of tinnitus. Mm-hmm. Some of those people report that it's constant. Others, it comes and goes, fluctuates on a daily basis. So everybody's different. There's actually been some studies where they have, it was an interesting study, it's my favorite one, they put a group of college students into an anechoic chamber. Mm-hmm. Before they put them into that chamber,
what is an anechoic chamber?
Anechoic chamber is a completely soundproof booth, so there's no outside noises or stimuli that are coming in. So they put a group of college students into this anechoic chamber, and before they went in, there was none of them reported any head noise, ringing, buzzing whatsoever. They left them in there for a period of time, and when they came out, over 80% of them reported some sort of head noise. Mm-hmm. Again, ringing, buzzing, chirping. So more common than we think, but it's really interesting phenomenon. I think I would say that everyone at some point in their life or point, you know, in time has heard chirping or ringing or just a short little high-pitched hum.
Right, and some people, if you focus on it too much, it can exacerbate it. It will be something that you think, wow, should that be there? And then you worry about it and think about it a little too much.
And the more you focus on it, it creates a vicious cycle. So
it is true. It is true. Well, Dr. Awesome, is there a cure for tinnitus? Let's talk about cures and treatments.
Yeah, so the short answer is no. There's no cure.
There is no cure for tinnitus.
No. But there's a big difference between no cure and no help. Mm-hmm. So we like to kind of come up with a management plan for each patient that has tinnitus, and that's going to be different for each individual. So there are different ways that we can kind of determine what we need to do. Most therapies or management plans are going to involve some sort of what we call habituation. So habituation really is the process of learning to ignore. Mm-hmm. So kind of what I alluded to before with kind of tricking the brain or fooling the brain into not being so focused mm-hmm. on the tinnitus. So if we look at that, we look at doing that in a number of different ways. And that's what's going to be a little bit different for each patient.
Mm-hmm. So the different types of treatments are different focusing things. What are the other kinds of things that people can do?
So sound therapies is a really big one. And sound therapy is just a way to, in some instances, it's going to cover up the tinnitus. Mm-hmm. That's called masking. Mm-hmm. Okay, we don't want to do that all the time.
Right.
And then another sound therapy is active listening. So you may notice that you don't, you're not as aware of your tinnitus in the day when things are busy and going on as you are at night when you're sitting quietly. Okay. Mm-hmm. So during the day, there's a lot more going on. There's more noise and you're actively listening to things. Maybe in the evening, as you sit down and relax, you're not using that active listening as much. So you're more aware of your tinnitus. So active listening is another way that people can kind of get rid of the sensation of their tinnitus. So, but what we'd like to do is try to help people, help the brain realize that tinnitus is not something to be alarmed about. Mm-hmm. Tinnitus is something that many people, it triggers almost a fight or flight response.
Right.
And the brain doesn't know what to do with that. And just like people who live next to railroad tracks can sleep through a train going through at night, many people with tinnitus also learn to be able to just ignore that and not let their brain focus on
figure
it.
Ground. The train is a great example of that.
Your brain initially doesn't know whether it needs to be in fight or flight mode mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. But it learns that tinnitus is not going to be something that needs to be dealt with in that type of way. Tinnitus can just be ignored. And it doesn't seem possible at first to many people.
Right.
But as we go through a management plan, many people find that they become much less aware of their tinnitus and their stress level overall decreases.
Right. It's really, really, really important.
Yeah, it can be a vicious cycle for people. You know, the stress can increase the tinnitus, but also the awareness of tinnitus increases stress.
Right.
So we need to break that vicious cycle.
It's very cyclic. But education is key, too, to understand those things. Mm-hmm. Education to not think about so much.
Yeah.
Think about it to not think about it.
The tricky thing, yeah.
So going a little bit further into that, Dr. Barton, how you can go a little bit further into treatment and management of tinnitus.
So one of the most common forms of treatment is actually wearing hearing aids. Mm-hmm. So if you have a hearing loss, we're actually treating both. Mm-hmm. So we're treating that hearing loss and then providing other acoustical stimulation that will, for some people, cover over or mask over the tinnitus. It's different for everybody. Some people find complete inhibition or reduction of that tinnitus while they're wearing the hearing aids. Mm-hmm. Other people find only a slight reduction. Some people actually experience what we would call residual inhibition. For a short period of time after they take the hearing aids out, they still may find a reduction in the tinnitus or complete reduction of it. Again, it's completely different for everyone. So that's one form of treatment, but there are hearing aids out there that also have different therapy sessions or parts in them that we can activate to help them. So when it's quiet, they have some control over their tinnitus, gives them back some of that control. They're the ones that say what they want to listen to. So they're activating a specific program that provides some, like Dr. Olson was saying, some masking therapy to give them some relief from that tinnitus.
Yeah. Are there other strategies to use, like sound machines at night?
Machines at night, sleeping with a fan, so that you're not having, again, that active listening is really what we're talking about, so that you're giving that brain something else to focus on rather than the tinnitus itself.
So a lot of people will just go to Dr. Google and ask all these questions about tinnitus, and they get inundated with all these things about take this pill and do this and just buy this book and all these quick fixes. Everybody wants a pill to fix everything. So when maybe a word of caution for people who go out to the internet and so they don't make mistakes in believing something that isn't quite true or all these false claims that are out there. Yeah. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, when we look at some of the research out there, evidence-based research about any supplements and things like that, there really isn't any proof yet that shows anything, any pill that you can take that really cuts down on tinnitus. Also, supplements, even, you know, some people say that they're having some success with it, but it's a matter of also knowing that you should be checking with your physician about even taking any supplements. Certain supplements may have some ingredients in them which are dangerous for people that have different health conditions. So just because it seems or says all natural or that it's a supplement, it's not necessarily okay to take that. And there are some instances that show that's not been a good idea.
Like blood thinning or things like that.
Especially certain heart conditions. Some of the things out there that claim to reduce tinnitus are not good for people that have heart conditions. So anything really should be asking your doctor about that.
But always include your doctor or your audiologist too. So I would put a word of caution out there. The more oddball it seems, the less trust you should have in something that you see on the internet. Mm-hmm. That's a rule of thumb for everything, but especially for tinnitus, I think. So buyer beware.
And I think a lot of people are struggling. They want some help, and their physicians will even say, well, you just have to learn to live with it. Mm-hmm. Well, we can help you learn to live with it. It's something that doesn't just come naturally to people, is learning to live with it.
You learn on your own.
Right.
But there's the right way of learning to live with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes we talk to patients about the fact that tinnitus is like a candle in a dark room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if the room is dark and you come in, your eye's going to go directly to the candle, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you put some other noises in the room, you know, let's say fireflies or flickering lights or, you know, a little twinkle light or something like that, your eye is not going to go automatically right to that candle. So that's another analogy
or strategy.
Yeah. So that kind of goes with the active listening, passive listening, different things like that to help people, no matter what situation they're in, to be able to
manage it
and not focus on it so much. Music is a great thing that way.
Mm-hmm.
But you can only listen to familiar music for so long before you start getting either tired of it or same tune will go through your mind all the time, right, or something like that. When you want to reduce stress from tinnitus, you don't want to use music that's really has a real active beat like you do when you want to work out.
Right.
You want to use something that's calming.
Right.
So even using music as a distraction or something like that for tinnitus has a better way to do it than not.
That's true.
And so one of the things that we use, even for people who don't have hearing loss, is ear-level devices that look like hearing aids that can provide some what we call fractal tones.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a lot of the same similarities to music, but they don't have the downside that some of the music can have in terms of the familiarity or the upbeat. So we can use those tones to kind of help reduce the heart rate, reduce stress, and also provide some of that distraction.
Because their song is a little bit predictable, mm-hmm, when the fractal tones and that type of thing are...
Yeah. The fractal tones are non-repeating,
right?
So your brain doesn't pick up on a familiar pattern, and then it gets stuck in your head. Mm-hmm. So,
right, which we've all had that happen.
We don't want that
here. That's kind of like tinnitus, right? Talking about the different types of stimulation and separating them into three different categories, where we have acoustic stimulation versus active listening and passive listening.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some examples of those things.
So acoustic listening, or any sort of masking that's actually going to be loud enough to cover up a sound, is what we think about as masking, covering up. So that's one strategy.
Right.
So you're going to listen to, say, music loud enough,
mm-hmm,
that you're not hearing your tinnitus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Active listening is just something that's trying to distract you. So you possibly could hear your tinnitus breaking through that, mm-hmm, but you're distracted and not focused on it. So think of that candle in the dark room with some other lights in that room, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the best ways to kind of address some of the tinnitus, so that your brain can still be aware of it, but it is not triggering that fight or flight mode,
mm-hmm,
okay? So we're doing something else to help relax you. The passive listening is in the similar vein. It's going to help your brain kind of get used to having the tinnitus there, but not be alarmed by it.
Mm-hmm. So those are three very different strategies. And how do you decide which one would work for each individual?
A lot of times it's a little of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm,
and most people, too, may end up needing some sort of... For one thing, we say informational counseling.
Right.
So we're going to counsel them, give them a lot of information about tinnitus, and that really helps reduce the stress. But some people also need some what we call cognitive behavioral therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people that we can refer to kind of help people get a handle on the stress level that they have because of the tinnitus. So it's an important piece that some people may need.
And it really is. And everybody's full of stress these days, so
mm-hmm,
our treatments could help in other parts of their life as well, which is a bonus.
Right. Yes. And we can refer where needed, you know, to somebody else who is more trained in cognitive behavioral,
mm-hmm,
therapy.
Mm-hmm. Very, very true. Dr. Barton, talk to us a little bit more about the tinnitus and stress and the connection between the two.
So if we talk about stress, again, it's really that vicious cycle, mm-hmm, where we want to release or remove that cycle,
mm-hmm,
if we can. So the more you think about the tinnitus, typically that tends to exacerbate it, make it louder, make it more intense, you're focused on it. Just relieving someone's stress and anxiety about maybe the cause of tinnitus. A lot of people come in thinking, you know, there's something more major that's wrong. And we can be part of that process of determining that it's not something life-threatening. It's not something that they need to be alarmed about, and that in itself can relieve some of that stress. And then helping them to manage the tinnitus and learn to cope with it and deal with it in any number of these different ways,
mm-hmm,
is going to be a huge stress reliever for them.
It really is.
Some tips for some people that we will use too is some relaxation exercises,
mm-hmm,
that people don't always think about,
such as,
well, you know, kind of closing your eyes and mm-hmm. picturing different scenes, or doing the part where you are gradually going through parts of your body and releasing the stress mm-hmm. and things like that. So those relaxation exercises that we often don't find time for are something that can really help reduce the stress level in people who have tinnitus too.
Stress in general, let alone mm-hmm. helping for the tinnitus. Mm-hmm. It sounds good to me. Mm-hmm. So some of the questions that people ask are we born with tinnitus, or how do we get tinnitus? Why does it appear? Are we born with it or not?
Well, that goes back to that study. That theory is that everyone has tinnitus, mm-hmm. But our brain necessarily doesn't recognize it because we have so much other stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of different theories as to what causes it. Again, noise exposure causing mm-hmm. damage to those hair cells in the cochlea.
Would you say noise exposure is one of the biggest factors or primary?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that we see most commonly. Mm-hmm. People that have a history of noise exposure tend to have hearing loss and then associated tinnitus with it.
Right.
So it is probably one of the most common ones that we see.
How often is hearing loss associated with tinnitus? In general,
I think that people who have tinnitus, about 90% of them mm-hmm. end up having hearing loss as well. Mm-hmm. But about 60% of the people with tinnitus are not aware of any hearing loss.
Right.
So they might not
come see the connection.
With that complaint. They might not be aware that this could be a result of hearing loss. Mm-hmm. So
that's a good point. It really mm-hmm. is. Well, what is the first step in somebody getting help with some of these issues?
Yeah, reach out to us. Give us a call. Mm-hmm. In many cases, we can do a no-charge consultation, but mm-hmm. it's important to get a hearing evaluation, a complete hearing evaluation, to determine whether there is any hearing loss, for one. And even if there's not, there are ways that we can help with this. Mm-hmm. We have a number of patients who are in their 20s or 30s that have tinnitus and no hearing loss, are very minimal, that we can still help change their life, turn their life around. Some people are very distraught over the tinnitus that they have and have learned to kind of help get it under control.
Maintaining anonymity, but give us some of your success stories that you've heard or comments of people who have had certain types of treatments and what they've said in the past.
Yeah, I've had people say this is life-changing. Mm-hmm. I was so stressed, and this has helped me manage my stress. And it also gives me the tools that I need to know that if my tinnitus flares up, I can manage it, or we can manage it together. You know, mm-hmm. there are things that I can do on my own, or I can call and figure out, do I need an adjustment on these devices, or mm-hmm. do I need to... What else?
Well, I think it's also important to point out it's not a cookie cutter thing. It's all walks of life, mm-hmm. all ages, all ethnicities. There's really not one common thing that says, well, this is it and this is why.
Right.
It's so general. And that's mm-hmm. something that's hard for some people to swallow. I just want an answer. Well, sometimes there's not a direct answer, but there is ways to manage things. And that's what we educate people to do.
Right.
So
I think that's the biggest part of it, is giving people the tools to help them manage it and recognize it for what it is and how to cope with it.
Well, it matches their situation and their personality.
Exactly.
And that type of thing. So you need a professional who really cares about you and your situation specifically, not just say go home and learn to live with it.
Right.
Because we do have answers and we do have education, and knowledge is power to know what it is and how it affects you individually. Mm-hmm. It's very important to work with a professional that understands that. And audiologist is your number one resource for that kind of thing. A physician will look at your prescriptions and that type of thing, but as far as treatment and management skills, they would refer to us immediately. And I think that's we're at Kaczmarski Hearing Services, we're getting really well known for managing tinnitus with patients and having a lot of success stories. And if anything, your first consultation, you will learn a lot, and that's the first step to anything that involves tinnitus. Any other comments or things that we might have missed? Or
no, I was just thinking, if there are any physicians listening, please,
right.
you know,
right.
send your patients our way if you're wondering if we can help, instead of just saying, well, you have to learn to live with it. Mm-hmm. It's fine to say that, but tell your patients that if they haven't been able to learn to live with it in 3 weeks to a month, mm-hmm. that you have a solution for them and you can send them somewhere for help. Otherwise, they go indefinitely thinking, how
send them to us instead of Google. A good audiologist will really have some good quality answers, mm-hmm. where Google can really mislead some people. And that's one of my fears for the good people in general public. Well, that was a lot of information to digest, that's for sure. We're always available for any further questions or detailed things that we want to go into further. I would recommend listening to this podcast more than once if you really want to absorb all the information that we talked about. It's good to just hit repeat and listen again. That will help de-stress you. So I want to thank you both so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come talk with us today. Tinnitus is such a broad subject and there's so much misinformation out there. So it's really important to work with a true professional to completely understand as much about it as we can. So it would mean a lot to us if anybody listening to this podcast right now can just share it with friends and family. It's really important to get the word out there about good quality management and education of tinnitus, because our goal is to help you hear better where you live and to get the most out of the life you live. So thank you very, very much for listening. We'll see you at our next podcast.
Thank you.